This is Dominion Hour with GSW, a sacred time of spirit-led teaching and prophetic prayer grounded on the Word of God. With meekness of heart, may you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to deliver monumental transformation in your life today and always. Blessings to you always.
Come up, part two. So yesterday, I started to teach us on what it means to come up higher and how believers can do so. And I'm happy that I got feedback. I got feedback from some that didn't even know that it's possible, And some, even that yesterday, experienced their first supernatural journey. It is unheard of that somebody is a Christian and all the person sees in his life are masquerades, witches, naked girls, naked boys, food. All the person sees is himself in the village, himself in the in his past, or his ex-girlfriend, or she's sleeping with somebody, or he's sleeping with somebody. How can you be in Zion? And these are the things I say. Yeah. That means the imagination of a lot of Christians has been so twisted. Imagination has been so twisted that they cannot even aspire for lofty, elevated realities of God. And what you don't see, you don't become. So I'm happy to break that yoke with yesterday's teaching. Had 18 people, 18 writing to me, saying that yesterday was the first time that they saw visions of God, visions of heaven, visions of Jesus. That's 18. And that is these are not SSBC trained people. These are people that joined us from outside, right? And I had to offer a bit of guidance to all of them regarding their journeys. But it is important that coming up higher, we all begin to jet out, because it is from that mountain. Don't forget that Moses was told to climb to that mountain and see the promised land. When you are in this Zion, there are certain mountains. When you get to their peak, you will see your future. Excuse me. A lot of people say, I don't know what my future is. I cannot know my tomorrow. I don't know my purpose. It is because you are not, you are landlocked. You are not taking the journeys. In the Old Testament, the prophets will climb on top of mountains in order to have meetings with angels. It's in the Bible. You will see Elijah going on top of a mountain. And the Lord was standing beside him. The king said he should go and bring him. And then he was bringing that fire from that mountain. Go and read it. That is Elijah. You will see Elisha standing on plain ground. Second Kings. Standing on plain ground. And then the eye of the servant opened. And the servant saw that he was standing on top of a mountain, surrounded by angels. This is the reality of a Christian. If I'm standing on the roadside with an unbeliever, both of us will be standing side by side. If I may take a picture, and both of us will appear in the same picture as if we are both human beings. If you have spiritual eyes, you will see that where I am standing is far above principalities and powers. And where he is standing is far below principalities and powers. that the principalities and powers is king. And that I am towering above them. We are not the same. We can never be the same. So our thinking surely shouldn't be the same. But when a Christian is thinking like an unbeliever, it shows somebody that is dwelling in Zion, but thinking as if he or she is at Okitipupa, or at Awe, or at Lalate, or at Ibora, or at Zabisa, or at Lungu, or anywhere else. And that is the thinking that does not make us ascend. When we do not have the mind of Christ, we do not see the visions of heaven, therefore we cannot set our purpose in the direction they should go. See, so it is important that you get this. So yesterday I talked about meditation. I said meditation is important. A lot of Christians don't practice that anymore. You go to church, you can't clap your hands, pack, 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 sing, 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 clap your hands, shake your head, shake your head. That's how to, I even that, because I've tried it before, that you will shake your head, it will be as if your brain wants to come out of your ears. But how do you, how is your prayer side of it? Is that fervency? That's so fervency. Such prayers needlessly just put human effort to work. They do not produce spiritual results. However, when a Christian is still, you have been praying in tongues. So I recommend it highly that people pray in tongues first. Apostle John said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. It means he was praying in tongues when he went into the trance or the vision and we saw as the book of Revelation. So we must be in the spirit. A prayer in tongues for people, then contemplate the word of God in your heart. Sometimes I see a scripture. I'll tell you the scripture today that will help. You see the story of the 10 virgins. Since I was a child, I was made to believe by many teachers that the story of the 10 virgins is about people making heaven. That there are 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, and they were waiting for the coming of Jesus. They are waiting for the bridegroom. And that those who are wise took extra oil, and the foolish ones did not take extra oil. So one of them, when they were not waiting for Jesus to come, waiting for maybe the rapture, waiting for maybe whatever, Jesus to come. And that eventually, the light for 5 of them began to go dim. And they realized that they didn't have enough oil. So then they went to meet the wise that had extra oil and they said, can you please borrow us some of your oil? And those ones said, if we give you some, we will not have enough, so maybe you should go get some oil. So then they went to fend for oil, and by the time they would come back, Jesus had come. And so they that were ready entered into the chambers with Jesus, and Jesus locked the door. So those that were outside now came and they came to knock. Ah, please open the door. And then Jesus told them, sorry, we are complete. We don't want you here. And then they interpreted that vision or that parable to mean that they will come, even Christians will be locked out if Jesus caught them maybe misbehaving or something. And my brain has locked down that parable and the meaning, that locked it down totally. Like, I have come to accept that that was the meaning and that was the meaning. See? Like, many of us here now that are listening to me, if that is also how you know the parable and the meaning, can I see your hand? If that's how you understand it, and that's how you've always understood it, you never even contemplated it has another meaning. Oh, thank you very much. I can see. And so I wasn't alone. That was how I was taught. So one day recently, one of our prophetesses sent me a very curious question. She said, Paraginga, what does the parable of the 10 virgins mean? When I saw the question, I was thinking, is this like a damn question? What kind of tests is this lady trying to, all of us know what this T mean? All of us know what it means. All of us know what it means. Why should they ask me? Like, these are primary school, Sunday school parables. We know what it means. But because she's a prophetess and she's a Christian, she was born a Christian. So I know that she had gone through the process that I went through. She also learned the parables when she was young. But asking that question means she was not satisfied with the explanation. So I kept quiet. I didn't respond to her. I didn't say anything to her. I left it to me. In my head, I was thinking, the Lord that says you should ask me the question, the Lord would give her the right answer, right? Then I began to pray one day. And then I began to see visions of heaven. And this time around, I was seeing like a vast blue sea, very quiet. I was hearing the sound of the water, but it wasn't waves. It was very quiet, still breeze. And then the Holy Spirit said to me, "Let me teach you the parable of the 10 virgins. What it means." And then he said, "Do you know that they were all virgins?" I said, "Yes." He said, "The virginity means they are all saved." I said, "Okay." They are all saved. So in your head, you thought some of them came to heaven and some went to hell. No, all of them are saved. So my salvation is eternal, so they are saved. I said, "He said, do you know the meaning of the oil?" I said, "Yes, I know." He said, "Anointing." He said, "Yes." He said, "Salvation gives you a level of anointing." So all of them have oil because the gift of salvation already comes with the knowledge of Christ or the mark of Christ, which has set them apart, taught us by anointed and do my prophet Noam. So they already have the mark of Christ. Henceforth, let man trouble me. For I bear my body, the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they all have the marks of Christ. So all of them are anointed in that level. Oh, I said, "Oh, okay, I understand." Then he said, "You see the extra oil?" I said, "Yes." He said, "That is the Holy Spirit." He said, "Do you know all over the world there are many Christians who do not believe in the Holy Ghost or who believe in it but do not engage with him?" He said, "Yes." He said, "Okay." So that was why those said were separated into two. Those who engage the Holy Spirit actively and those who don't engage the Holy Spirit actively. He said, those who engage the Holy Spirit actively, they will be brought into the grace of his secret, which is the bridegroom arrived and then they entered with him. So when they entered with him, the door was closed. He was able to show them the secrets. The Bible says the secret of the Lord is with those who fear him. He was able to tell them, "Oh, this will happen here, this will happen here, this will." He was able to show them great things. So that's why the church today, you have prophets, you have those who see visions that know things. Because they are engaging the Holy Spirit continuously, they are constantly brought into the secret place of God. And then you have those who are outside the door, who will have to come and meet Pastor, 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 pray for me. I said, "But you're also a Christian, but you see things more than I." I don't know if you have heard that before. That some people would say about some Christians, if you have heard that expression before, where somebody says, "There are some people that sees God more than some other people." Can I see your hand? And they be ahead, so you get it now. You've gotten it, you've gotten it. So they are the ones that are outside, the foolish virgins that are outside. They were the ones that were now knocking on the door. "Please open the door. Come and help me explain this thing. You are inside, so you see him more than we do." Ah! I came out of that vision that day. I said, "My God, my God, how many parables have I believed that I didn't know the meaning?" that I just gave it a simplistic meaning because the Holy Spirit did not teach. Aha! So the reason I shared this is so that you can understand what it means to contemplate the Word of God. A lot of people don't. You don't keep the Word of God in your heart. David said, "Your word have I hidden in my heart that I may not sin." It is not memorizing. You don't memorize with your heart. It is contemplation. Constantly turning the word of God around in your heart. Constantly mulling over the word of God, not thinking about your problem, your shop money, or your food, or some of you, they put their head back. I want to buy this, your headache. Some, I want to have a baby. Some, and then you allow that thing to dominate your life. It becomes your sleeping and waking thoughts. Because of it, you will not eat, you will not do anything, you will just be crying, suffering. But those are not the things that are important. Just Christ said to Martha, he said, Mary has chosen the better Lord, the better decision has been made by Mary. She has chosen that which is profitable, which is to sit at my feet and to hear my word. So the word of God is key. The entrance of that word will give you light. You then begin to have understanding about things that have enjoyed your ability, right? And then you begin to know the secrets of God. You begin to know the secrets of God. You begin to know things that you have no business doing. I'm telling you, do you know that a lot of people who journey this way, they will come out and they will tell you, oh, if you combine this leaf with this leaf, you are going to get this medicine. Many people did not know that medicine, before it became a scientific approach, medicine, all forms of medicine, was taught to men by angels. Many people did not know, but that is the truth. As far back as the Old Testament, when the sons of men and the sons of God were mingling on the earth, the sons of God showed men medicine. They taught them how to make fire. They taught them how to make many things. All inventions, as at that time, were taught to them before God then separated them after they began to have sex together, have children together. God then separated them. But the sons of God have absolute knowledge. I mean, angels, they are super, super more intelligent than men. They have absolute knowledge of many things. And sometimes the things we struggle with here on this earth, that you're like, hey, there is a disease. It doesn't have a cure. Just one journey. Just one journey. There's a sister of mine in this fellowship. First time she will write to me ever. She said an angel showed her a particular leaf. And the angel told her, this one is the cure for this particular problem. When she woke up, she went to look for the leaf. She began to do scientific research into the leaf. Just one journey. Now, she wasn't the only one. Eventually, I noticed that there are some people among us that whenever they are in the presence of the Lord, that is the direction the Lord takes them to. They go into a botanical garden of the Spirit, and God begins to explain things like that to them. There are some that God takes them into places of engineering. There is this machine that they use to sew cloths. The name of the lady that invented it, that singer machine, if you go and check the history, the woman that invented the first one was a blind woman. She composed a lot of songs. She used to just dream of Jesus and she would compose songs. And one day she was sleeping and she saw the wheels coming together, all these things, and then she put them together and she invented the first one before it became commercialized and everybody now has it. There are so many inventions that came by the realm of the Spirit, by the revelation of the Spirit to the sons of God, because they meditate, because they stay on the word of God, because they move the word of God. The earliest inventions, from Isaac Newton to Pythagoras, they were all Christians. They were all Christians. And they were all given the room to to navigate the corridors of the spirit according to their gifting. Handel, all the music composers, listeners, if you still hear their music, your body will still be feeling the heavenly vibe. Why? Because the songs were heard from heaven. Nowadays, I see Christians will copy songs from unbelievers. They will put Jesus here, put Jesus there. They will say this to the release Christian song. Nobody bothers to listen to the tunes of the Spirit anymore because meditation is gone, because contemplation is gone, because people don't bother to ascend to heaven anymore. They don't enter into that room where they can be with the bridegroom and they will teach them. People don't bother with the extra oil anymore. And that was the difference that somebody like John made. The revelation according to the word of God that came to John was trying to show us, Christians, how to live the elevated life. How to live the elevated life in Christ. How to see beyond the plains of mankind. All the problems some of us will say we have. You know, I was in an office once as a staff. A lot of us in this office will be talking, salary. When will they pay? When will they not pay? While we are talking like that, some staff will go and report to me to somebody. They'll be talking behind. All of us are in the same show. All of us have not collected salary. I mean, all of us, all the staff, we have not collected salary. We have a common problem. Not collecting salary. And then we are thinking, when will they pay? When will they pay? At the same time, two of them will go to this ogre. Even the ogre has not collected salary. They will go and say, come and see my guy. Yesterday, the report did. He did not put I, he did not put Q. In fact, he allowed the news to move 2 minutes before time or that second before time. And they will still be talking about you. They will still be backbiting you. They will still be doing this. They will still be doing that. In the same office, like all of us, so the ogre will now, all of us have not collected salary. That same boss will now call, will now say, come. He will now fire you query. Pwah! You will now write query. They will now tell you again that they are giving you suspension. Suspension without pay. All of us in the same office. And one day I was talking to God about it. That office was very toxic. I was talking to God about it. I said, God, please, in this office tomorrow, vindicate me. And the Lord said, you cannot see. Why are you talking about this office? You are not even supposed to be fighting this fight. This is not even your life. You are here. You are fasting and prayer. Pastor, I'm praying that when I face that panel tomorrow, oh, Father, scatter them. Tear them to no pish. No, change. Do that are not paying salary. That is it, you are not seeing the way you should be seeing. So I said, Lord, how should I be seeing? The Lord said, I will show you. And then the Lord showed him that my future is far better than that place. That by playing at their level, I will not be able to see my future. That why are you playing? Why are you playing with these people? Why are you trying? They are trying to make you make this your life, but this is not your life. But I was able to see because the Lord showed me. So I walked away from the office. I resigned. I said, this is small for me. I'm telling you God's truth. Within 3 years, they are head of news in that organization. Head of news sent me a message. Please, I'm broke. Anything you can do to help me? I'm broke. What happened? Within 3 years of not thinking like them anymore, of raising my ability to think and not playing in that rat race nonsense, of elevating my thinking, I become so blessed. That he heard the news, he heard the news, he heard it that, if you see this guy now, my God, God has really blessed. So One by one, all of them, Lisa, whatever you can do to help, whatever you can do to help. And I helped a lot of them. And I also told them the same thing. As long as you see yourself this way, this is how you will. It is a place of limitation. The ability to stay, the ability not to go to Zion and see, but to stay on this earth and be fighting rat race. Hey, policies, they are doing policies, this one, that one. Oh, my husband is doing this, my wife is doing this. All that human reality complexes and issues. If you cannot come out of it, to see things from an elevated perspective, you will always be troubled. Crisis will never be over. Even within the church, that you say, this is the church. When people are in the church and they cannot see heaven, they cannot see from an elevated perspective, their visions become limited. They begin to backbite each other, backstab each other, they begin to talk about each other. People say, because they cannot see. They cannot see the journey, they cannot see. Contemplate the word of God. Set your eyes on things above. Was that not what the Bible said? You set your eyes. When he said set your eyes, he wasn't talking about just thinking of it. No, he's saying that, see, there's something to see. If anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. He said, behold, see. I'm begging you. A lot of Christians don't see. You must see. When you see, your life will change. Sight changes direction. What you see consistently changes how you think, changes how you plan, changes how you live, changes everything. A man or woman who grew up in poverty, who refused to leave that area of poverty, can never be great. There are some areas that are designated as poverty areas that people will live there. Their joy, most parents, you will see when they raise their children there, they will, as soon as possible, want their children to move away from that place. They will be telling their children, no, don't come back to this place. So, go, be going. That's why many people say their children are abroad. They say, be going to a better place, go to a better place. Why? Because they know that the site in the place of poverty, the environment affects thinking. If anybody can come out of a ghetto, they will give testimony all over the world. They will say, I was born in the ghetto, but today, thank God. Thank God I'm out of the ghetto. Why do you think people do that? Because they know that the chances of making it out of a ghetto is very difficult. I'm saying the same thing to you. Please, don't be landlocked. Don't be outlocked. Don't be outlocked. Don't be the kind of Christian that all your vision, your imagination is evil, evil, evil. That means you are descending. You are not even ascending. You have to then contemplate. The word of God washes your mind, changes the way you see reality, changes your consciousness, changes how you approach people. When people bring a problem to you, you don't see it the way they see it. You don't see the people come, this and that, but the way I see it. After we say, Brandon, how did you do that? Because I do not share the same perspective as other people. I see from the mountaintop. The mountaintop is not when you climb a physical mountain. The mountaintop is the place of meditation. The high places of your heart, the imagination of your heart, should not be controlled by negative news. It should be controlled by the word of God. The imagination of your heart should be fed by the Spirit of God. You must be full of the Spirit. You must stay in the place of the Spirit. Then you must begin to contemplate reality from the place of the Spirit. You will see your future. I'm telling you. You will see your spirit guide. The angel of the Lord will appear to you. You will just see. You just hear his voice and you will not be afraid. You just hear him, just say, so this is it. Today, I think there was a conversation that's happening before. So he will not come and do this. He will not say, hi, my name is this. No. He will be talking to you as if he has always been talking to you. It is the moment you tuned into that frequency that you begin to hear, oh, these are my plans for you. These are the things you do. These are the things you do. These are the things you do. And you'll be like, hey, I say it again. I was sick in 2016. I was sick to the point of death. The doctor said I have 3 months to live. 3 months. And while I was sick, I would hold my tummy. I'll be speaking in tongues. I'll be, help me, heal me, Jesus, help me, heal me. I'll be doing that for hours, day in, day out. And then one day, I said, even if I'm going to die, why die like someone that doesn't know God? I'm a born again Christian. I don't want people coming around to be saying sorry, sorry, sorry to me. And to them, I will not be emaciated. I will not be so thin. People will not be sorry for me. I didn't want that. So I said, if I'm going to die, let me die well. I'm going to start reading the Bible. Eh? I'm going to start reading the Bible every day. I told myself, I will read it. I will read the Bible. And then I'll pray in tongues every night, 2 hours intensely. I told myself these things. I wasn't, I knew I could get healed. I also didn't want the testimony that in case I died, I didn't want the testimony that people would say after I'm gone to be, he was strong. When he was in school, he was a strong Christian. But towards the time when he would die, he lost his faith. I didn't want people to say that about me. So I was like, okay, even if I was going to die, right? Let them say, he finished strong. He finished strong. So I told myself, I will finish strong. So then I took my Bible. Every day I would read 10 chapters. In fact, some of you here, if you go back to my Twitter and you go back as far as 2016, you will see that I used to post Bible every day. I don't write tweet. I would just post Bible chapter by chapter. As I was reading, I was posting Bible. That was the time I was going through that season of my life. I would just be posting scripture, reading, praying in tongues, posting scripture. And then suddenly I saw a vision. I'm telling you before God, it was healing I was looking for. I saw a vision. I saw the Lord Jesus. He was standing. There are like six of us or seven sitting down, like a classroom. But I couldn't hear what he was telling the other people. He would mention their name. He would just say, he would call somebody, and then he would tell the person on the board. He would show. I couldn't hear the assignment. I couldn't hear what he was telling them. So, but I knew that he was giving us like assignments or telling us instructions. When he got to my turn, he just looked at me and just said, you are going to minister Dakots, Birmingham, you are going to Leamington Spa, you go to London. I didn't have passport at that time. I didn't have international passport. I didn't have any. I didn't do. There was no ministry. There was no ministry. I was a staff at a church. And then he mentioned five cities. He just said, you are going to this place. These are the places you are going. And when you get there, you are going to do this. And he was talking to me. When it was done, he wanted to then talk to the next person and talk to the person. Remember, I said that I cannot hear what he was telling the others, but I heard what he told me. So I now lifted up my hand. I said, sir, sir, please, sir, sir, sir. You know, I looked at him. He said, yes. I said, but I'm sick. I'm sick. They are telling me I'm going to that court. I'm going to. I'm sick. He just looked at me and said, deal with it. And then he moved on. Ha! Yeah. I said, hey, when I woke up, I said, deal with it. Deal with it. Everybody will see Jesus. They will come back and say, when I saw Jesus, I got healed. I've seen the testimony. There was this sister that saw Jesus in, I think, First Square Church that had a baby. That saw Jesus said she put his leg ahead on the slabs. And that was how she was healed. Other people have seen Jesus before. All of them will come back, they will say they are healed. Me, I saw Jesus. I received the. I received that baby. When I woke up, I said, ha. Hey. I saw Jesus and I didn't get healed. Hey. But he said, deal with it. So I said, let me take that word. What does it mean to deal with it? What does he mean to deal with this? So I go back to the scriptures. I began to read. In fact, I googled it. I said, when Jesus said deal with it, what does he mean? I didn't get a good answer anyway. But I wanted to know, what was he trying to tell me? So I took my scriptures. I read this. I will read it. Do you know, I got healed. Not only did I get healed, the future he showed me, that future, you go here, you go here. Within 3 years, I'd gone to all those places. By 2022, I'd gone to all those places. Within how many years? 6 years. I'd gone to all those places. Why? Because he showed me a vision of a tomorrow that is greater than my current, that was greater than my current reality. He showed me my tomorrow, my future. Come up higher, come and see, come and see, come and see, come and see. You sit down somewhere, you're like, God, what would you answer me? Hey, your answer is on the mountain top. You don't need to be crying in vain, as if you do not have a God who hears or who speaks or who orders the footstep of his children. No, not anymore. There is access by the Spirit to the presence of God. Revelations chapter 4, chapter 5 proves it. Revelations chapter 1 proves it. That there is access. There is access. There is access. But you must assess, you must be deliberate about it. You must remove all the teachings of those who don't even know God well, who are just saying things. You must hold from your head. You must stop thinking that it is your pastor that is representing God. It is not your pastor. Your pastor is also, I told you, everybody has their cubicle. Your pastor is also receiving his own instruction. He's not receiving instruction so that you can now be at the outside like a foolish virgin, knocking on his door, pastor, help me see. Pastor, help me see. Meanwhile, your pastor is also not that side. In fact, some pastors, there are some pastors that they are permanently, don't let me say much. But you know what I'm trying to say? Even the person you are going to meet did not enter into the bridegroom, did not enter into the bridegroom's chamber. And you are going to him because you too. So outside of that foolish virgin, there are a lot of people. So when you see the way the temple in Jerusalem was built, you will see that there is the Holy of Holies, the inner court, the inner sanctuary. That is the place where the bridegroom is saying, come, 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 come and see. But there is space also outside. There is the outer court. And then there is the fence. And then there is the compound. All of them are Jews, but not all of them can enter into the Holy of Holies. But you can enter. There is access. Why? The Bible says that the veil has been torn from top to bottom. We cannot enter his gate with thanksgiving. That's what the Bible says. Peter, he said, enter his gate with thanksgiving. He said, we should enter boldly. He said, we should enter boldly. We should enter boldly. Yeah? What does it mean by entering boldly? There is a key. Jesus Christ said it. He said, I have the keys of the kingdom. There is a key. The key is what I'm giving you now. Come up higher. He who has the key can enter boldly. You don't need to knock. You just open the door and enter because you have access. That access is what I'm teaching you. That's it. Yesterday's class and today's class. You are not just going. Your imagination, being clean, by purified by the word of God. You are no longer seeing. Stop watching your bathrooms. All those nonsense. Things where they will be doing incantation, where they will be doing fake, somebody disappear, appear, dead person is coming and chasing somebody, or evil spirit is chasing somebody. All their film trick is gory, gory looking monsters and nonsense makeup artist work. All those things, they are an assault to the imagination. Don't expose yourself to them anymore. Don't. Expose yourself to things that would stimulate your imagination, that would purify your imagination. And then when you pray in the Spirit, contemplate the Word of God That are deceived. That are deceived. The eyes of my understanding being enlightened. That I may know the hope of his calling. Keep there. Hi. Contemplate it. Contemplate it. And then you'll begin to. It is not difficult. Don't even try. Don't do how to see. Don't do that. Because you will be in your alpha state while you are pretending to be in your beta state. Just relax. Allow yourself to go into that beta state. And then just start thinking of the word of God. There is a particular way I used to enter into the realm of the spirits very well. I used to look at, I'll read a chapter because I like stories. So I read a chapter in the life of David, a chapter or two, all those Davidic adventures. The story of David when he killed Goliath, the glory of, I read it. When I read it, I will not close my eyes. I will not continue the story, not the way the Bible wrote it. I will expand it. Okay, after he killed Goliath, they now carried him on their shoulder. The Bible did not say that. They were not dancing about. David was not, everybody was not like, David. You know, the way they used to beat him to beat when I win debates. When I was, it was debates that I used to do. I did not kill Goliath. They were not saying, well done. They were not talking about it. No, come on, it's brilliant. The way he carried the stone. The way he killed. And then I'll look at the other side, how the Philistines became scared and how they scattered. And all that. And my imagination will just go from there, bam, I'll just go into other realms. Because my mind would expand on the word of God. I would watch it like a movie. And then I would begin to give it settings and sequences and scenes and chapters. And before you know it, bim, then I'll find myself in a corridor that I had no control over. Because my mind started it, but then the Holy Spirit took it over. And then I'll see myself in corridors, and then I'll see myself being told, "Oh, this is the angel in charge of Psalm 46. This is the angel in charge of Psalm 47. This is the angel in charge of Ezekiel chapter 1." And then I'll be like, "Hey, there are angels in charge of Ezekiel." I said, of course, the word of God is written upon the wings of angels. Every word of God activates." I'll say, "Oh, wow, those are things that I didn't know before." But that suddenly, because in the course of ascension, in the course of coming up higher, I began to learn that angels watch over the word of God to perform it. Before many of you here, you've heard the scripture before, that angels watch over the word of God to perform it. God said, "I watch over my word to perform it." And then that was what you read in the Bible. Then one day, the vision of God said to me, "Oh, angels watch over my word to perform them. When you activate my word, you bring forth an angel." Then the Lord said to me, "How do you think that those who do incantation invoke demons?" He said they do so by words. He said they will do mantra, they will do spell, they will do chanting, they will do all that, and they use it to invoke demonic presence. He said the same way, it is this word, this Bible, that we use to invoke the presence of angels and ministering spirits. I didn't say that, but in the churches I attended when I was young, we memorized Bible, and we used to say it, and angels don't appear. Then the Lord will say, no. That which is spirit is spirit. You guys are, is mental Christianity you are practicing. That's why I used to tell people, don't memorize. Put the word of God in your heart, not in your head. In your heart, not in your head. In your heart, in your heart. Let the word be living, pulsating, alive in your heart. Not that you just be like a parrot. I shall not die, but live. The guy in the line of living. But that's it, the line. I shall receive that. Do you know how many scriptures I know? When I was young, I used to be one of the top memory verse pupils in the Sunday school class. We used to go ask for Sunday to go and show our parents that we can memorize scripture. When the Holy Spirit told me, "The word of God is in your head, it's not in your heart," I said, I have misplaced. Was it not official? We are talking about people misplaced. Don't let me talk about that here. I have misplaced this thing. I said, okay, let me put it in my heart where it belongs, not in my head. I should put it in my heart. Let the word of God be in your heart. Let the Spirit of God expand the word of God and stretch your imagination infinitely into Zion. Let there be a line of connection between you and heaven. When you close your eyes to sleep, do not descend. Ascend. Do not descend. Don't descend into misery, into chaos, into bad dreams, into spiritual, extra mundane incidents that you now wake up and now be telling people story. Ah, man, somebody fought in my dream. Why? 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 What's wrong with you? Do you have a psychological problem? Why is it that you are fighting somebody up and down? Your mates are sleeping. They are coming out of sleep with inventions that are changing the world. Your own is to sleep and to be fighting. You know, I had a pastor that I used to be a PA for, a PA2. He would tell me, God changed my weapon of war yesterday. 2 days ago, when I was sleeping, I was downloading from the Lord. I saw myself in an helicopter with a bazooka. I was shooting missiles. Pow, pow, pow. Those days, I used to think, hey, me, I don't even know God at all. No. These people are collecting helicopter in division. Another day, he said, God has given me a Gulfstream. No. A jet. A war jet. I was flying and I was shooting bomb. Pow, pow. I said, this brother, hey, me, I don't even receive bicycle at the time. And this guy was flying jet up and down. I share it was the film that the mother used to watch. The man loves all this commando movie, Commando, Rambo, all those things. He used to watch them a lot. He will not sleep at 2 a.m. So, of course, when he's sleeping, that's what he will be seeing. He will not be seeing his God. Ha! Hey, the day I saw the brother at Ubud, this recently, when I saw him at Ubud, he saw me like this. Ha! He saw me from afar. He wanted to dodge his eyes. I said, no, don't dodge your arm. I went to greet him. They're my senior. But he's no longer my senior. That's the truth. He looked at me and said, I never knew you would go this far. I said, you can teach us all the lies you want to teach. God is the truth. He taught me the truth. He showed me the way. Because if I followed him, I don't know where I would be. He didn't know nothing of God. And yet he had the title, and yet he had the PA, and at that time he just came back from South Africa, so everybody around him felt it was a big deal. I mean, I'm following him, anything he said, I should be. I'm telling you, it is not hidden. It is not hidden to us who are in Zion. The secrets of God are available to all of us who are in Zion. Open your imagination to receive it. Remove all the assault on your imagination. Everything you've seen since you are young, when you are not born again, don't see them again now. You are born again now. Why are you still seeing the things you are seeing in the flesh? You shouldn't see them again. You should be seeing the things of God now. You belong in Zion. You belong in heaven. So you should be seeing heaven. It's like, as I'm speaking now, I'm in Kajide. If I look out of the window, I cannot see Victoria right now. I can only see what is in my environment here. Your environment now is Christ. Open your imagination to see. Go read Hebrews 12. Just map out your neighbors. Just map them, just bring them out and say, this is, I have come to Zion now. This is what I'll be seeing now. Then deliberately change, consciously change your image. Don't ever encourage yourself to be seeing things that are lesser. Change your imagination. And then they begin to see visions of heaven. It's not difficult. Put your phone by your side. You don't need to write much. When you wake up a little, press on your recorder. Create a group. I have a group. There's a few and angels. That's the name of my group. It's on my WhatsApp. Every vision I see is my voice note. I will say it there. This morning I saw this, I saw that. Oh, this morning I saw this, I saw that. Oh, the Lord showed me this, the Lord showed me that. Oh, the Lord showed me this. I mean, so my that group. And that's my WhatsApp. I put everything there. So that when I now become conscious, I can listen and hear what the Lord has told me. It has helped to shape my imagination, my vision, my thinking, my purpose, I do not get swayed here and there because I'm guided by the Spirit. That was what kept John going on the island of Patmos. It was so clear that the reality John was walking in was different because he allowed himself to be inspired from above and not by a situation inside a prison. Do not let your current situation dictate to you how you will see your future. You see, let God who made you and the spirit of life that is in you show you the future, the vision of your future, and guide you into fulfilling that vision. That is the word of God that I've brought to you today. Come up higher. Do not stay where you are. Do not stay there. Don't stay there. Don't become a citizen of that land. You belong to God, and of God you are. Don't be a fool who will stay outside. Indict in your heart what is good and chase it down and manifest it. Glory to God. It's time to give our offering. Thank you, Father. There'll be more and more and more of us who will be seeing visions of God today and into the coming days. Don't forget what I said about the month of October, with rejoicing, dancing, and singing. With rejoicing, dancing, and singing. That is how you give today's offering. As we are giving the offering, we give it with rejoicing, dancing, and singing. It doesn't matter whether there is drum or there is no drum. That is the instruction of the Lord. He said the coming month is a month of victory. Ah, I saw palm fronds. I saw saints holding palm fronds. Hey, Hakabia, they were dancing. They were singing. I said, what is this? The Lord said, this is the month. This is the month. This is the month. So you give this offering rejoicing, dancing, and singing. You are going to enter into his court with praise. Not just all these big body songs. No. Your heart making melodies unto the Lord in your heart. That's what Apostle Paul said he used to do. He said he used to sing hymns and spiritual songs, and he makes melody to the Lord in his heart. Apostle Paul was seeing God consistently because he has practiced what I have taught us today. Sing melodies to the Lord in your heart. Bless his name. Read the Psalms and rejoice. Let your heart be full of the word of God. I rejoice evermore. Again, I say, rejoice, glory. Dance and sing as you give. And as you give, bless his holy name. Give him glory. We've had a glorious month. We've had testimonies that are heart-shattering. But we know that there is the greater one ahead of us. He is showing us our future. He is sealing our tomorrow. He is blessing our wine, blessing our water, blessing our corn. He is turning their situations around. Do not join those who are saying, no, things are hard, things are hard. Don't say that too. Things are better. Things are better. Hey, things are better. Glory to God, I'm giving my best years. Hey, I'm walking in the reality of my best days. Every day is a blessed day for me. Every day. I'm in the land of the living. The whole world is a better place. I am the reason the world is a better place. For I come as an ambassador of Christ. I have come as a salt to make sure that where there is bitterness, there is going to be sweetness. I have come as the light to illuminate every darkness. I am the reason the world is a better place. Therefore, the world is a better place not because of anybody or situation, but because I'm here. Glory to God. There is joy in your heart. There is joy in my heart. Don't forget the things you've learned in this month of dominion. Come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. And you will see glorious and marvelous sights. Things that are shocking. Jeremiah 33:3. He said, I will show you things that you don't know. He said, call unto me. Hey, call unto me. He said, I will show you things that are like, wow. And that is what your story will be. That is what your testimony will be. That is what the Lord has done for you. Give glory to God. Thank Him. Thank Him. Today's offering is a thanksgiving offering for a whole month of dominion prayers. Glory to God. Ah, thank you, Father. We bless your name. We give you glory. You have done great things. You have done great. We are glad. We are glad to celebrate you. We honor you. We declare that you are highly exalted. There is none like you. Glory be to your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Let the blessing of the Lord shout glory.
Glory.
We hope today's teaching has been a blessing to you. We invite you to join us again for more inspiring messages and engaging prayer sessions. To learn more about the ministry, please visit us at our website at www.gswmi.com. Thank you, and may you continue to walk in God's abundant blessings always.